Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Bears Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by the former Bear quarterback. You see him on CSN's pre- and post-game coverage of the Bears, Mr. Jim Miller. What's up, Jimmy?
I'm doing great, Pat. Good to be with you again.
Good to be with you. That was ugly, that game against Tampa. Talking to a lot of Bears season ticket holders over the last several days, they turned the game off.
Yeah.
And after the, you know, we can look at both sides of the ball. I know there's 53 men, but you got to put that one on Jay, in my opinion.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that, because if you look directly at the situations here, Harold Jones-Corte gets an interception. They're right down in the red zone of Tampa Bay. Minimum, you walk away with 3 points there. Okay, just if he could have had a touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. Vernon Hargraves has it, and Alshon actually bats it away. Then you come back, and when he has the turnover, the safety out of the end zone. You got to know, as a quarterback, your internal clock's got to be going off. So they got 16 points off turnovers. Right there, minimum, Jay cost the Bears 5 points just with his decision-making alone. So if you look at his history of turnovers, he's got 207 touchdowns. He's got, like, over 140 interceptions. Then you factor in the fumbles. He's got, like, 88 fumbles, 62 of them been lost. You're even, Steven. You're basically 207 to 207.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
You can't win that way.
So, you know, it's a not-for-long league. After the Monday night game against Minnesota, he was praised. We talked about it last week in the podcast, saying, you know, and I love what he did off the field, you know, with Bobby Massey and the whole nine yards. And, you know, he apparently gave that
inspirational
speech before the game. Bah, bah, bah. All right, fast forward to the Tampa game, and there's some teammates, unnamed players, who said they were that they've given up on Jay and that they were shocked by his lack of preparation. I mean, we go from polar opposites in a matter of a week.
Right.
When you hear those quote-unquote unnamed reports, what do you think?
Well, I think the same thing, and this goes with his fellow teammates. It's interesting, because I had Brian Urlacher on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he just said basically the same thing. You know, there's so many ups and downs. You know, you feel like you're watching a heartbeat monitor.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, there's extreme highs, extreme lows. At some point, after 8 years, why isn't it more in the middle? You know what I mean? It's got to be more consistent from the quarterback standpoint. So the talent is there. There's no doubt the talent is there. I'm not putting it all on Jay, because there's been new coaches, new schemes, new systems, all those type of things. But even with all that, you need more consistent play from your quarterback in order to win in the National Football League.
And let's go right to Dow Loggins then. I was stunned that the way, you know, Jordan Howard was running rock, they only had consecutive running plays for one series in that entire game. Now, I don't care if you're down a score. I don't care if you're down two scores in this league. If you're running at 3 and 4 and 5 yards per carry plus, you got to run the run. Not to mention, you realize six doesn't have it today.
Right.
The back-to-back interceptions on back-to-back throws, you know, as the OC, and I think that's what Adam Gase did last year. When Jay didn't have it, he rerouted that game plan accordingly. Your thoughts on what Dowell did last week?
If you go back and look at the game plan, though, like you said, 15 carries, 100 yards, 6.7 per carry. Even that, what I said, the missed touchdown throw to Alshon, those were all off play action. It was set up and it was there. But Jay had already thrown two interceptions. He didn't trust himself and didn't throw it on time. You know what I mean? So then they come out, Tampa Bay scores the first drive, the second half. Now you're in the three-score mode. So it kind of takes the running game out of it a little bit, where you're going to have to pass a little bit more. But I thought the play-action pass, they called quite a bit of it when you look at the Bears. So, in my opinion, at some point, you pay your quarterback. He's making, what, $17 million? He's got to do his job, too, at some point, no matter, you know, even though he's struggling. I thought they tried to help him out with the play-action pass, because Jordan was running it pretty well.
insult to injury after the game. Alshon Jeffrey this week suspended for PED violation.
I've gone through
you
it.
You went through it. Yeah. Okay. So from a player's perspective, is it that tedious and difficult to run it by the proper channels, what you put in your body?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for myself, but that year is when they added to the addendum coming out of camp what I got caught for. It was norandrosterone 19, and it wasn't on the label. But now players, since those incidents happened, because there was about a handful of guys every year that happened to, you can give it to your trainer or send it directly to Dr. Lombardo's office, of the league office, and they test your supplement. Hey, you're good to go. As long as you get clearance, you know you're good to go. So for Alshon, who's been in the league quite a bit now, you know, the protocols are much different than when I was a player, and he's asked to be aware of that, and I think that's why probably John Fox and the organization is not as sympathetic as what they were to me.
One thing I thought defensively that stood out to me, as ugly as that first half was, 4 turnovers in the first half, the Hail Mary gave him a chance.
Right.
But it was the start of that second half. Tampa Bay had 3rd and 10. Floyd comes free on a stunt up the middle. He has Winston dead to rights at like the 13-yard line, can't bring him down. Then Willie Young has a shot at him in the end zone,
right,
can't bring him down. And Jameis spins out of that, hits Mike Evans, and then the following play hits Freddie Martino. I mean, that to me was the game, because you stop them there at 3rd and 10, you can tie the game, and right. You had some momentum off the Hail Mary.
No, I agree. It's really all about angles and those type of things when scramble drills apply. And even Tracy Porter made a great attempt. It was a great throw by Jameis. It almost just tipped his fingertips getting to Mike Evans. But you're right. Those are the type of plays you got to make a difference in your season. It's a handful of plays a game that are the difference makers. That was one of them in this game against Tampa. But let's be honest. Tampa is not a very good football team.
Right.
That is the 28th ranked defense in the NFL.
They've given up 1,000 yards in back-to-back games.
73
prior.
Points.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's Matt Ryan and other quarterbacks that are facing them, but the Bears are only able to put up 10 points.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You know, so minimum, like I said, going into a half, if he hits Alshon on that touchdown, you know, eliminate the Hail Mary play, the Bears should have had much more points in the first half just due to lack of execution.
It's been a problem all year. I think they're the only team in the NFL that have been held 24 points or fewer in all the
31st
games.
31st in the NFL,
yeah,
they are.
So there you go. Pernell McPhee, talking about the Giants' offense, says, we're going to tear their asses up. Now, I like the way Pernell plays.
I do, too.
I don't know. When a teammate says something like that, do you like that? Is he trying to draw some attention and lighten the load in the room? Is there a method to his madness?
I think there's part of it, and I think he believes it, because I do too. I think that's why, you know, a week ago, everybody's like, why is this team talking so confident? You know, you've won 2 games, you know. And
most confident 2-win team in the NFL.
But here's what I do think. I think they know, and I've been saying it too, that front 7 has the opportunity to be really good. They really do have an opportunity. And I think, you know, it's got to start somewhere. And Pernell McPhee's the guy stepping out in front that, hey, guys, I'm going to challenge you. Let's go. You better have my back. And let's put this thing together defensively. It's going to be a tough challenge against the Giants, because I think they're coming together as a football team.
Well, Odell Beckham Jr. says they have a Super Bowl defense. He says the offense is coming along. Like, they have a real difficult time running the rock. Although last week,
Jennings got on track.
Rashad Jennings, 87, 90 yards, somewhere around there. So, you know, what have you seen from the Giants? Because I was texting somebody during the game. I'm like, I know Eli's won 2 Super Bowls, but a couple of his picks in that game, I thought I was watching Jay Cutler too. I mean, it's funny to me to see one guy has hoisted the Lombardi Trophy twice, and you look at his statistics, and they're better than Jay's, but not by this huge
15 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions. Their offensive line has struggled up until the last 3 weeks. He's been sacked. I think out of the last 4 ball games, he's been sacked 3 times. So it's gotten better in terms of the pass protection, because it was far worse at the beginning of the year. So offensive line somewhat coming together. I think for him, he has had a couple of bad decisions, but he hasn't had the run game to boot. But he's got 3 wide receivers. He gets Victor Cruz back this game. Sterling Shepard is a nice-looking rookie receiver. And then, of course, what Odell Beckham brings to the table. All the weapons are there. defense is playing much better. Their sack totals aren't up. When you look at, I think Olivier Vernon only has three. JPP has a sack and a half. But they are providing right. more pressure now and hits on quarterbacks. And now with the secondary that's coming around, Janoris Jenkins is a good shutdown corner. I would assume, you know, we'll see who he's on. They could pretty much move him anywhere and put him on any Bears receiver. And plus, I think the other secondary players, Landon Collins and them, are starting to play some football. Steve Spagnuolo has done a nice job bringing a lot of free agents together. They invested over $200 million in this defense, and it's really starting to shore up the last couple weeks.
Find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcast. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow us at CSN Bears, where every episode is posted along with all of your daily Bears talk news and stories. Coming up, more from Jim Miller, the matchups he likes and dislikes for the Sunday encounter against the Giants. And we'll also talk to him about the Packers and the Vikings issues. Who's in worse shape right now in the NFC North? That's next. But up next, Brian Urlacher joins Mark Schanowski.
Warm up for every Bears game 1 hour before kickoff with Bears Pregame Live.
Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Jim Miller, and host Chris Bowden get you ready for kickoff and have instant reaction on Bears Postgame Live immediately following the game.
The best Bears coverage in the city is on CSN Chicago.
All right, Brian, there was a lot of optimism heading into that Tampa Bay game, and all of a sudden that disappeared. What is the locker room? What do the guys do now?
I don't know. I mean, last week we talked about how optimistic they were coming off a bye week. You know, you got Eddie Royal saying we can run the table, and now they can't run the table anymore after that. I was surprised that they got beat that bad. The way they performed on offense was shocking, especially after the way they played against Minnesota. I know it was a road game, but Tampa Bay is the 28th ranked defense in the NFL. I was shocked.
You get the three turnovers early, you fall behind 17-3. Yeah. That just takes the air out of everybody, doesn't it?
Changes your game plan as well. You know, you're down by 14 points. You can still run the ball, but it limits what you can do on offense. You're not going to catch up by running the football. So you got to throw it. Defense knows that. They start putting the areas back and rushing a little bit more.
Bears did get the Hail Mary just before halftime, so it's 17-10. You think you get a defensive stop, you got a chance. Start the third quarter, they had a chance to sack Winston in the end zone. He escapes, throws it down the field, and then they end up scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, James Winston's come a long way. I mean, I didn't see him come as far as he has this season. He's played really well. That was just an athletic play. We had a couple guys miss on the sack there. But, you know, they made plays when they had to, and that's why they got the win.
The Bears defensive front overall played pretty well. They had four sacks, got pretty good pressure on Winston throughout the game. Is that starting to emerge as one of the strengths of this football team?
I believe so. We talked about last week about how we thought with Pernell McPhee back in there, this would be a better front. And they were last week. You know, they didn't show in the final score, but I believe they'll get better and better every week. The linebackers are good, Freeman and Trevathan playing well. But I think the more that front plays, and Leonard Floyd playing better as well. You know, he's making some plays every week now.
Not only do the Bears lose a football game, they lose Alshon Jeffrey to a league suspension for 4 weeks. And you've seen this story many times before. Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate because I know guys are always told, go to the trainer, go to the medical staff, make sure you don't make a mistake like that. But they got Alshon on this one.
It's too bad. You know, I'm a huge fan of Alshon. I was a teammate of his for a year. And I truly believe it was a mistake on his part. He didn't know what he was putting in his body. But as a player, you have to know what goes in your body. You have to ask the trainers. You can call the NFL and ask them. There's a lot of different avenues you can do it. He made a mistake, you know, and it's costing the team. It's going to cost him a lot of money. Well, four game checks for him is going to be a lot of money.
They also lose Kyle Long to an injury. He goes on IR, one of your team leaders. That hurts you in so many different ways.
The hits just keep on coming. You know, you got for a while there, the whole defense was banged up. Now you start getting guys on offense banged up and suspensions. Just other guys have to step up. You know, they've been pretty good up front for the most part, offensive line all season long. This guy put somebody else in there and keep going.
So now a chance to play spoiler. The New York Giants currently leading the NFC wildcard race. Mm-hmm. They're a dangerous team. They've won four in a row.
They are. They're playing well. They're kind of streaky. You don't see them as being the team that's going to blow anybody out, but they find ways to win late in games. They make plays. They don't run the ball particularly well, but they play really good defense. You know, I think they played Sunday or Monday night. I watched them, and they played really good defense. Don't see that being any different this week.
Eli Manning quietly has carved out a pretty good career.
Yeah, quietly.
Two Super Bowls.
Yeah, the same as his brother. I played against Eli a few times earlier on in my career. He's good. You know, he just kind of does his thing, plots along there, does his job. Obviously, Odell Beckham does a great job for him. Mm-hmm. They don't run the ball as well as they should, but they make plays. Like I said, they make plays to win football games.
And our guy Robbie Gould is back in the league, kicking for the Giants now.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him kick against the Bears. You know, he's done well. I figured he'd come back in the league at some point. He's too good of a football player to – I'm sorry, too good of a kicker.
Right.
to not
– We saw him trying to make a tackle last week.
Yeah,
he's not a football player.
Yeah, he got a little burst there. But, yeah, he's not a – you know, I didn't think he'd be out very long.
Before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to brag on your New Mexico Lobos. 7-3 right now, bowl eligible. They're rolling.
Yeah, we're not – you know, in a bowl yet, but we're going the right direction. I'm very excited. You know, we're on ESPN again this week. We're at Colorado State, which is a big game for us because they're a good team in our conference. But 7-3, man, that's big for us. Back-to-back bowl eligible seasons is a big deal for New Mexico.
And they're going to be on national TV for the last two games. That's big for the program as well.
Heck yeah, it's money from, you know, it's TV money that we don't normally get. So anytime you get a chance to get money going to the football program for New Mexico is a big deal.
So check out your local listings, the New Mexico Lobos against Colorado State.
Chicago Bears Pro Bowl linebacker Lance Briggs is making his return to CSN Chicago this season.
Briggs and host Pat Boyle dissect from the Bears' previous game and look ahead to the next.
Don't miss the Lance Briggs Show, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. on CSN Chicago.
Back on the Bears Talk Podcast, Pat Boyle and Jim Miller. Before we get back to the Bears and Giants, I want to ask you about the Packers and Vikings. I mean, both are reeling. You know, I'm seeing, you know, Mike McCarthy on the hot seat, which is
right.
That's pretty surprising, right? And then what the Vikings are going through. Who is in worse shape, would you say, right now between the Vikings and the Packers?
I personally think it's the Packers. I know the Vikings have their offensive line issues, but even with all that going on in their loss last week, Bradford was 31-40. You know, Pat Shurmur, the new offensive coordinator there, he's doing some good things in the fast pass. You see how they're featuring Stephon Diggs. They've got a good tight end and Kyle Rudolph. Have to get some semblance of a run game. But Pat Shurmur will figure it out. Green Bay, they've got issues all over. From their O-line, how about this? The head coach said, our receivers cannot separate from man coverage.
Wow.
Mike McCarthy said that.
It's
yeah.
Pretty damning.
Their secondary's ailing. They've got some injuries in their front seven in terms of their linebackers. This is what hurt them last week on that opening onside kick by Tennessee. Jake Ryan, their starting middle backer, got just rolled, and he was out the rest of the game. And normally they put Clay Matthews inside when they've had injuries there. Clay didn't even dress for the game. Their defense was an absolute mess last week against Tennessee.
All right, back to the Bears and the Giants. We've talked about that Giants' impressive defense. You know, lose Kyle Long for the remainder of the season. Your thoughts when you look at the Bears offensively? Is there a matchup you like going up against this pretty tough Giants defense?
Yeah, well, I think the identity of the Bears does have to be to run the football. Sounds like Jordan Howard's fine. I do think it's difficult, though, with Snacks Harrison, their nose tackle. That's going to be a load for Cody Whitehair to block, but they have to be consistent and go to that setup play action. I think Zach Miller needs to be featured, attack the safeties a little bit. Even though Landon Collins has been playing well, I think he and Eddie Royal have to be key components. It's really the inside guys that I think, because I like their corners. I like Janoris Jenkins, I like Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. I think it's going to be tough to really feature anybody outside. But if you work the middle of the field with the run game, play action, mix in some receiver screens, stuff like that, and normal screens to the running back, and I think the Bears, to me, it's a beatable team in the Giants. They're playing better, but it's going to be a challenge for the Bears because they've struggled to score points all year long.
Let's flip it. That Bears defense, we said we like the front seven. Mm-hmm. We know the Giants can't run the ball very well, but it's the Bears secondary that worries me.
Yeah. The obviously, the three receivers. I'd assume Tracy Porter's going to get the Odell Beckham assignment. He's fared well. Even last week, he shut out Mike Evans the first half of the ball game, and he's lived up to every test. But, you know, Victor Cruz is healthy. To me, it's pass rush. The weakness of the Giants is that offensive line. I don't think Eric Flowers is built better to be a right tackle than a left tackle. I think the Bears have to expose the offensive line, put the pressure on Eli in this game.
I'm reading the tea leaves here. I'm feeling that Jim Miller might have an upset special going here. So lay it on us. Who's going to win between the Giants and Bears at a windy MetLife Stadium on Sunday, from what we hear?
I don't think the Bears will crack their average, which is 16 points.
Yeah.
And the Giants have the ability to score more. So, you know, it's like 21-16, 24-16, something like that. I think the Giants win.
All right. Well, great stuff as always. Congratulations on baby number four.
That's right. Little baby boy.
What's his name?
Asa Jeremiah, named after his two uncles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. And we will check you out on Bears pre- and post-game live on Sunday. That'll do it for this edition of the Bears Talk podcast. Thanks, as always, to Brian Urlacher as well and Mark Schanowski. That'll do it. Go Bears, and we'll see you next time.